Let's begin with some scripture. We'll be looking at a lot of scripture this morning, but I want to start in the book of Acts chapter 2 and reading through verses 24 through 28. Now hear the word of the Lord. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Won't you pray with me? Father, we come again thanking you always for the sacred scriptures, your holy inspired word. As we consider them this morning, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be opened, our minds would be sharp, that we hear the lessons that you have for us and what you have to say to us, that we might truly embrace what these messages say to us in our minds and also in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was considering what to speak about this morning, it was Monday or Tuesday, I said to my lovely bride, Barbara, what should I talk about? And she said, you know, how about a really uplifting message? We're due for a really uplifting message. These last couple of years in our world have been tumultuous, to say the least. We've seen terror attacks, we've seen floods, we've seen earthquakes, we've seen a contentious election, and then the Packers lost. Time for an uplifting message. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today. Pastor Stephen started his series on Reformed theology a couple of weeks ago with Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. He mentioned it again this morning. We are a Bible-believing, a Bible-seeking church, and there is nothing better than digging into God's Word and seeing what it has to say to us. So we're going to talk about joy, joy in the Lord. What's the difference between happiness and joy? We need to make that distinction. Happiness is external. Happiness results from those things that happen to us. And because they're external, they can be fleeting. Things change, happiness can very quickly revert to sadness. Joy is different. Joy is internal. It is a state of being, a state of mind. It embodies all sorts of different things. It's intense, it's ecstatic, it's jubilant, it's exultant, it's lightheartedness. And because it is internal, it cannot be taken away from us by the external unless we let it. So let us always reside in the joy that we have, and we're going to look at that joy from a couple of different angles. As we consider joy, happiness to an extent, and happiness is certainly a part of joy, don't get me wrong. The question arises, what about the icky stuff? What about the trials and tribulations that come into our lives? The sickness, the destitution, the death of loved ones. Well, Scripture speaks to that. And so we're going to look at two sections of Scripture on that right now. Firstly, from the book of James. The book of James is just a great handbook for Christian living. I encourage everyone to read the book of James and let it rest on your heart. We're going to start right at the beginning, James chapter 1. He says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, he's speaking here about the 12 tribes of Israel that went into exile. And, of course, we know that two of them came back. They were the latest ones to go into exile, Judah and Benjamin. But the other 10 tribes have become known as the lost tribes because they were indeed scattered amongst the nations. And in that scattering, their whole culture was taken from them. Their God was taken from them. Everything that was valuable to them and their very being was taken away from them. So they were indeed suffering trials and tribulations, the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations. However, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So mature and complete comes out of perseverance. And that maturity and completeness that we come to experience is an expression, and it works through our very beings as joy. We are mature. We are complete. We have everything we need. We go to the prophet Habakkuk. Everybody knows about Habakkuk, right? One of the minor prophets. And as I've said so often, Mrs. Habakkuk didn't think so, but he is called a minor prophet just because his message is kind of short, but it's powerful. And it sets a pattern for us that we'll kind of watch as we go through. Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, these were not good times for the people Habakkuk was talking to. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. He enables me to go on the heights. So strong words, all of these things, their very provision is not there for them, be it drought or locust or for whatever reason, and the pens are empty, and oh my, what a terrible time. And yet Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So kind of remember that, the lack of provision. And yet in the face of that, he will be joyful. So how do we grab a hold of this joy? What is the source of joy? Again, we can look to Scripture. I promised you there would be a lot of Scripture, you won't be disappointed. We go to, let's see here, what I read earlier, Acts 24, verses 24 to 28. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. And David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. I will not be shaken. I will not be anxious. I will not have anxiety in my heart. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So we see here that the joy that we look for is truly a gift from God in the resurrected Jesus. Galatians chapter 5. This speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. And we talk often about the fruits of the Spirit and how each of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior have fruits of the Spirit given to us, and we are obligated to put them to use in the kingdom work. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things wrapped together as fruits of the Spirit, And all of those things wrapped together under the heading of joy, the faithfulness, the goodness, the kindness. And that passage ends up, against such things, there is no law. Isn't that good news? We're not going to get arrested for faithfulness or gentleness or kindness or joyfulness. Not going to go to jail for that, at least not now. So we see what joy is. We see where we can find it for ourselves. And then Scripture goes on to give us a number of assurances that we do indeed have that joy. We go again to the book of Acts. And this is an interesting story. Paul and Barnabas were in a city called Lystra, and they brought a crippled man to the two of them, and Paul effected his healing through the power of Jesus. He called upon Jesus' name, the man was healed. And the people of Lystra were so excited about this, they wanted to raise up Paul and Barnabas as if they were gods. And Paul said, hang on, we are not gods. We're just a couple of guys, just like you, but we are doing the work of the Lord, and we're telling you about the gospel of Jesus. And he goes on to say in Acts 14, in the past, he let all nations go their own way, and indeed God did. He left them to their own devices on many occasions. That was in the past. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown his kindness, watch the pattern here, by giving you rain from the heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. I found it really interesting that as I was looking at these passages of joy, so often they were tied to provision. The provision of crops, the provision of animals. And why would that be? Well, we'll see in a minute. Go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16. This is a passage that calls for the people Israel to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles, more properly called the Feast of the Booths. I'm not sure why the two are there. But anyway, this was a feast created by the Lord for his people Israel. And it was a 7-day long feast. And I could tell you if I looked in Scripture the day and the month, but that's not important. The fact is, it was a 7-day feast. And what they did, this was a feast to remember the time that they spent in the wilderness. So they came to Jerusalem, and around the outside of the temple and into the courtyards, they put up these tents, like teepees or something. And they spent the 7 days in there as a remembrance of what the people Israel went through as they were traveling in the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy, the directions come from the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 15, for 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands. See the provision there again? And your joy will be complete. All the way back in Deuteronomy. Then there's another great psalm. Psalm 4. Verses 6 to 8. Many of us are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So we see the reference to provision there again, the wine and the new grain, or the grain and the new wine, one or the other. Anyway, so we see this reference here, but it kind of hints that those things smack of happiness. Whereas it says here that the joy, your joy will, I lost my place, just a minute here. You have filled my heart with greater joy than these things. So joy overrides that happiness of having a bountiful harvest. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And that's another component of joy, the confidence that we have, the sense of peace that we have, the acknowledgement of safety that we have in the Lord. Even though we are assailed on all sides by the things of this world, we rest in God's safety. Now, there's three scriptures here that I'm going to go through quickly. And I want you to, again, pay attention to the overriding theme. This is kind of a call to us regarding joy. Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's a component of joy. Steadfast. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of what? The joy of your salvation. Fills our hearts with joy. Let's look at the book of Revelation. John relating to us what he sees and what he hears here. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! Seraphim. Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. Sola Dea Gloria. Give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So we got this great multitude singing hallelujah, praising the Lord, the Almighty Lord God. But the key here is that as he reigns, we are to rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride is preparing herself for him. What does that speak to? The Lord Jesus is coming again. He's going to have a wedding. He is coming to claim his bride. And what is that bride? That's the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are making ourselves ready for him. We are his bride. We're making ourselves ready. We're making ourselves ready by being joyful and giving God the glory in all things. And lastly, in Psalm 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good line for a song, isn't it? This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone the builders rejected. And what was that stone? We all know what that stone was. That was Jesus. And it refers to him being rejected by his own people, rejected by the world in which he came to live for but a short time. But the Lord raised him up and made him the capstone. And what is that? That's the top stone. That's the one that holds it all together. The capstone is what he became. And it says, this is the day. This is a marvelous thing that the Lord has done in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what does it all come down to? John 3:16. Everybody say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great promise. And it's a promise that we can grasp and we can claim, because when you come down to all of it and all of these things and how they flow together, we see that the provision takes away the anxiety that we might have so that we can rest and abide in the Lord without those fears and worries. He will provide, and He is faithful in providing for us, so that we might truly embrace the fullness of joy in the Lord. Jesus came. He was the capstone. He went to the cross. He suffered on that horrific Friday. He, in that suffering, bore the sins of the world, mine and yours. And as a result of doing that, He was made righteous. And that righteousness is imputed, fancy word for transferred, that righteousness is transferred unto us, so that indeed our sins are taken away. And so the joy that we have is very simple. It comes from 3 days later when He was raised from the dead, conquering sin forever and ever, conquering death forever and ever, that we might have the hope of eternity in glory with Him, singing what? Hallelujah, because our hearts are filled with joy, the joy of the Lord that came through the death and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. There is the source of our joy. All these other things are great things, but ultimately we are washed clean and we have the joy and the hope in Jesus Christ our Savior. Philippians 4 says it beautifully. Rejoice in the Lord always. Sounds like the song we just sang. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. He is coming soon to claim His bride. Do not be anxious about anything. He will provide. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which is above and beyond all understanding. That's the joy we have. That peace of God, that's joy in the Lord. And it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the one true source of all of our joy. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.